Senator Bozeman, are you there with me?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Well, we really appreciate you taking out time from, I know, what is a busy schedule to be with us this morning. And a lot of things going on in Washington. And what are some of the things that that you guys have been working on?
Well, there is a lot going on, a lot going in Washington, a lot going on throughout the world. We're in the process. The House of Representatives passed a jobs bill, and we're in the process of debating that in the Senate. We've had some votes on it so far. I think we'll vote a little bit more today on that, and actually I think a good chance of getting that passed today. And there's some good things in that that really everyone agrees. The president supports it. It overwhelmingly passed the House, and I think we'll have a really good vote in the Senate. So, and this is important. You know, this is what the people of Arkansas, this is what the people of America want, is just to figure out the things that we agree on, and we probably do agree on, 80-90%, to go ahead and move forward with those and put the 15-20% aside and deal with that later. So this is a good thing, I think.
Well, what does this jobs bill actually do?
Well, there's a number of things in there. One of the things is that I would argue that the backbone of America is small business. But the backbone of small business is community banks, and there's a section there that allows them to make it such that it's a little easier for them to grow. They're under a lot of increased regulation right now with the economy. People aren't borrowing as much money. So I think there's some things in there that will really help them and strengthen them so that they can be supportive and be in a position to make loans and support our communities.
You know, I read something, an article in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, I think, over the weekend about banking in the state of Arkansas and the condition that it's in. And you know, as a whole, I guess it's in a little bit better condition than it was. But one of the things that struck me is we've gone from 274 banks in the state of Arkansas just a very short time ago to where now we're down to like 127 banks.
No, I saw that article also and thought it was a good one, which is a problem. You know, certainly, banks need to be efficient like any other business. But I do think you lose something when you lose your community bank, in the sense, I know my brother was an ophthalmologist. I'm an optometrist. We went to see our banker as soon as we got through with school and started to start a business. And, I had a negative net worth. I didn't have anything. He didn't have anything. But we had a good education. The banker liked us. And so he, with his gut feeling, said, he would loan us the money to get started. Sadly, we're getting ourselves in a situation where the bankers, through, excess, authority, excess regulation, they can't make those kind of decisions. And that really is what America is all about. So, the community banks are important. They've received a lot more regulation. They had absolutely nothing to do with the financial turmoil in 2008, but it's been used as an excuse to really be pretty heavy-handed in some of their dealings.
You know, Senator Bozeman, going back to jobs, I think one of the things that's really important, of course, is bringing jobs back here. And I think I read another article here recently where Ford Motor Company is, through an agreement with their union back. And, of course, they were the only automobile company that did not take any of the bailout money. But they've been able to bring back jobs back from overseas. And part of their agreement with the labor union, with the auto workers union, was if you guys will give us some concessions to help us survive these tough times, we're going to, as we survive, we're going to be bringing back, we promise to bring back more jobs from Mexico. And I understand that from this article that they are now retooling some plants in Detroit, and they're going to bring jobs back to Detroit from Mexico. And boy, that's a trend that would be great for the country if we could see it continue.
No, that's a great example, and it really is positive. And that's the way that you do it. You have to make it such that we're competitive. And so you worry about things like Obamacare that are really going to drive up the cost of health insurance, you know, for companies, for employers. And then as they manufacture these products, then the product costs more. We're also in a situation that the Japanese are lowering their tax rate. So we're going to be the highest taxed corporate taxes in the world. Now, we have a lot of winners and losers. You know, you have one company that pays through the nose and another country, a company that might make billions of dollars and not pay anything. So we need to level that out and lower the tax rate so that we can be competitive and deal with these markets. But, you know, a lot of companies, it wasn't as neat as they thought it would be, you know, going overseas or starting to come home. But we've got to facilitate that. And I think you do that with, again, having an affordable health care system, not the system that's been thrust upon us with Obamacare, which we're celebrating, you know, the two-year anniversary, I think, this week. And I would like to celebrate this time next year of getting rid of it. But also, that's the importance. You hear a lot about raising taxes and this and that, but if you have to be very, very careful in that regard, or you make it such that our goods and services will be that much more difficult to sell overseas.
Senator Bozeman, there's a couple of things that you've been involved with as a co-sponsor on bills very recently that we want to ask you about this morning. You were co-sponsor of the Respecting States' Rights and Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act. Now, very simply put and more understandably, that's going to give those of us who have concealed carry permits the right to cross state lines with those and still be legal.
No, that's exactly right. It's just an effort, much like, you know, you go down to your local office to get a driver's license permit. You know, you do the appropriate things. You know, you've done the coursework, you've passed the test to get the driver's license. Well, with a concealed carry permit in Arkansas, you have to do a similar thing. You know, you do the coursework, you pass the test, you understand, you know, what you need to in regard to that responsibility, and then you're issued a permit. What we'd like to do is make it such that in the states that also have similar laws, that when you go into those states, just like your driver's license is valid, then your concealed carry permit would be valid also.
Another bill that, again, and there was a, you know, the thing I like about both of these instances that I'm talking about right now, it shows that that people in that our senators and our congressmen can work together, because that bill was co-sponsored by Senator John Thune, from who's a Republican from South Dakota, but also David Vitter, a Republican from Louisiana. But on the next bill that we're talking about, that you co-sponsored with actually two Democratic senators, Chris Coons from Delaware and Dick Durbin from Illinois, is legislation that's going to help, hopefully, or at least its intention is to create American jobs by increasing the number of U.S. exports to Africa. Can you tell us about that one?
Well, I think most people agree that Africa is kind of the last really emerging market out there. And you have a number of countries that have lots of resources. They're doing a good job with their economy. They're growing dramatically, and they want American products. And so this is an effort to make it such that it will be easier to get those products, easier for our manufacturers to and our farmers, you know, to sell over there. It's amazing. One of the things as we come out of the difficult economic times that we're having right now has to be exports. We've got to get back to, selling and feeding the rest of the world in a very easy way. And so when you look at the statistics, Arkansas exported $5.2 billion in 2010. That's a lot of money. But the really exciting thing is there's great potential to export much, much more. The Chinese have gone into Africa and you know, trying to gobble everything up. And so it is important for lots of different reasons, for security reasons, but also it's tremendous potential in exploring and getting these markets where they'll benefit America and the people of Arkansas.
you know, China is providing a lot of loans to not only us but to other trading partners in the world. And in fact, I saw something that was a bit scary to me the other day that that said that out of every dollar that the federal government spends, 42 cents of it is borrowed, and 21 cents of that comes from China. Is that essentially a close to correct statement?
I think the statement about the 42 cents being borrowed is very correct. The statement about that much of a proportion coming from China is probably incorrect. I don't know the exact percentage, but I would be very, very surprised if it were that high, and probably is much, much lower than that.
How is this bill going to help us overtake China, or at least be more competitive with China on the African continent?
Well, what it'll do is really help us in a number of different ways. And you mentioned, whether it's whatever the percentage is with China, it's too high. You know, we can't continue borrowing 42 cents of every dollar to fund the federal government. We can't continue to borrow from China at whatever rate it is, and whatever rate it is, it's way too high. So the way that you do that is you grow the economy, and then that grows the tax base. And we have a great ability as Africa emerges, as a middle class emerges there. They want American products, and so we're trying to make it easier to get those products overseas. And the good news is, as you say, you know, this is a bipartisan effort. Myself and then the two Democratic senators and then many others will join with us. So these are the kind of things that we need to be working on. Right now, there's lots of disagreement on policy up here between Democrats and Republicans, but the reality is we probably agree on 80%. And so we need to focus on that 80%. Put the other side, you know, and really get some things done that will help the economy, help the American people.
You know, the political process seems like is going on and on and on the Republican side right now. And do you see this contentiousness amongst the Republican candidates as damaging for the party, or do you consider it healthy for the party?
I don't think I would call it healthy, but I don't see it as really damaging either. You get into primaries, and this is what they're about. I was blessed. I had the opportunity to play football at the University of Arkansas, and in the spring, this time of the year, you have spring practice there and at Arkansas State, and literally you go out there. Many of those days were in pads. And you fought hard, and we're trying to, really smack around the people that you were trying to beat out. And yet once it was over, all of that was forgotten, completely forgotten. You came together as a team, supported each other, and then, were successful. And that's really what we're talking about now. There's lots of smacking around, but I think in the end we'll come together as a team. I think it looks like that Governor Romney will probably be the nominee. Whoever it is, once they get through this, is going to be very, very battle-tested and ready for a tough election, in November. But I think that we've got a great opportunity, and again, people will rally behind the Republican nominee.
Have you personally throwing your support behind any of the candidates at this particular juncture?
No, sir. I've really stayed out of it. I know all of these people well, and they're very, very capable. But at this point, I really haven't endorsed anybody, and I don't think it makes a lot of difference. We're going to be one of the later primary states, and the people of Arkansas that vote in the primary on the Republican side are going to have to do what they feel like is best.
Let's talk a little bit about something that I think is going to be in the news again. There's been an awful lot of talk about Obamacare, and you mentioned it earlier. The Supreme Court is about to take up the constitutionality of a portion of that bill. Do you have any sense? And I'm not going to ask you to second guess the Supreme Court, but do you have any sense for how that might come out? And if indeed the Supreme Court rules a portion of that unconstitutional, what it does to Obamacare?
Well, I think that there is a good chance that perhaps that they will rule the part about forcing everyone to buy the product. This is a product that's going to be offered. It's not a tax. You can tax people under the Constitution as it's written now. On the other hand, this would be using the Commerce Clause and making everyone buy a product. That's a very, very new thing. That would be a first-time thing. And so as a result, I've heard a number of different constitutional scholars, really on both sides, but I think there's a very, very strong argument for that being unconstitutional. And if it is, then I think you really have, it's hard to draw the line on anything using that clause to do about, make people do about whatever you want them to do. And I don't think that's, what the framers of the Constitution intended at all. So I think there's a, pretty good chance that it will be. If it is declared unconstitutional, then I think it makes it very difficult for the law to work. The law itself now, the latest polling I've seen, 65% of the people would like to repeal it. It's very unpopular. And the reason it's unpopular is it doesn't matter the group that you're dealing with. Business people have figured out that the mandates that are going to be brought down on them is really going to raise their health care cost. And who's going to pay for that? Seniors have figured out that if you take $500 billion from the Medicare program, which the law does, add about 30% more patients, no more doctors, no more infrastructure. Something's got to give, and that's going to be their quality of care, and you'll have rationing. So the states in Arkansas, this thing is going to make it such we're going to have to add about 250,000 additional people to the Medicaid rolls. Where's the money going to come from? You're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And the reality is that money will come from education. It'll come from roads. And providers will get cut, again, leading to decreased quality of care and rationing.
Do you see any kind of a change in people, in just the everyday citizen of the common sense that we cannot continue to spend more money than we take in? And do you think that will be reflected at the ballot box this coming election?
No, I think it definitely will be reflected. It was in the last election in 2010. When you listen to the Congressional Budget Office, when you listen to myself as a senator, senators on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, House members on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, even the accounting office for the president, the Office of Management and Budget, the term unsustainable is used by all of us. And everyone agrees that the current trajectory that we're on is unsustainable. And the American people have figured that out. You mentioned the statistic earlier, 40, 42 cents of every dollar being borrowed. You just can't do that. These are simple truths, just like gravity. And so we're no different. We're the greatest country, freest country that's ever been. But we are, under the same laws as everyone else of economics, and you just can't keep this up. And so, I think that the American public is looking at all of this, and it certainly will influence their votes in the voting booth.
Well, Senator Bozeman, I know you're on a short leash this morning. You have other things to do. Anything else going on in Washington or in this particular session or coming up in the near future that would be of interest to our audience?
I think one of the things that really is important to Arkansas, and your listeners, is the Farm Bill. And so that's something that we're working on very, very hard, making sure that we have the safety nets in place that everyone is going to take a haircut with the budget. Farmers have had pretty significant cuts in the last few years. We want to make sure that, you know, as we cut back, that that's done in a fair, orderly process. We want a good safety net. And I'm really concerned, you know, we've lost, as we were talking about earlier, we've lost, you know, a significant portion of our manufacturing. We're totally dependent, you know, on foreign oil. And so what we don't want to do is get ourselves in a situation where we are dependent on foreign food sources. And you say that can't happen. It can happen. And so this is really important for the state of Arkansas. It's important for America. And so we're working really hard to get that right.
Well, you know, you say that, and I've seen just here in South Arkansas and over in Mississippi, our neighboring state, there's been a tremendous decrease in the catfish production deal. And, of course, there's a lot of things involved. It's not just imports, but certainly imports from China and Vietnam and other places has really affected the catfish industry. Of course, the price of corn has also affected that. But those are examples of how our food sources and what we produce here can definitely be supplanted by outside sources, and that's not a good thing for the American economy.
No, you're exactly right, and one of the things that is really, you know, hurting our catfish farmers is their input cost, you know, the high price of the feed. Ethanol is driving a lot of that. I'm really concerned about the new 15% ethanol that will make it such that people don't get as good a gas mileage because ethanol is not as high, you know, an energy producer as gasoline is. You know, a tremendous percentage of our corn supply is going into our gas tank versus, you know, feeding people, feeding livestock. And so I'm very much in favor of, you know, getting rid of those subsidies. And I think that would really help a great deal with our people that are producing cattle and chickens and, you know, livestock, our fish producers. So that's a good example, too. You have to be careful. You can get in these things and grow the industry, but you need to get out or you distort the market. And that's what's happening now with corn production.
Well, Senator Bozeman, we're out of time. We want to say thank you so much for taking out time to be with us this morning and to share what's going on in Washington with the folks back home. And we appreciate the work you do and all that you've done for the state of Arkansas. Thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you guys in person at some point, and appreciate the opportunity to be on the show.
All right, we appreciate it. When are you going to be back in our area? Do you know offhand? Or?
You know, I think I'll actually be there in a couple of weeks.
That's what I was thinking.
You'll be surprised.
Yeah, good. We'd love to see you in person.
Well,
thank you so
we'll
much.
We'll do that. Thank you.